Hey everybody, welcome back to Ping. This is episode 123 episodes of Adam and I and Laura.
Mostly and, Paul and Laura.
Yeah, mostly Paul and me and
it's like
me.
Episode 8 of Paul and I.
Yeah, this is Boys Without Foys, for those of you that know that Laura Foy is the normal co-host, and this is not her. This is Adam. Adam's been working with me.
I was going to try and shrink and then stand back up.
But he's probably already done enough squats today where that's probably no longer comfortable. Anyway, what's been going on in your life, Adam? Anything interesting that the Ping viewers care about? Okay, that was great. So last week, there were a bunch of comments because the week before, we didn't actually post the episode until the following Thursday instead of that Monday, which made Laura claim that she was going to post every single episode perfectly at Monday at 1 p.m. And then this episode, when do you think it was posted?
I'm going to guess Tuesday at 4 p.m.
Yeah, it was after Monday at 1 p.m. So
how far after was it?
I think about 4 or 5 hours, which wasn't too bad. Especially
that's like Tuesday at 4 p.m. in China.
Yep. Yeah. So there we go. So anyway, we had a bet, and I lost the Twitter competition, which I'm sure you're on top of.
I followed you for Twitter. I think I followed your
tweets. I'm glad somebody did, because
I also followed Laura, so my vote was equal on both sides.
Okay. Well, that didn't.
I also never log into Twitter.
Yeah. But I have a whole bunch of people following me on Facebook now, which is great. I need to do something embarrassing because I lost that. And Laura needs to do something embarrassing.
Kind of like waking up in the morning.
Yeah,
for you.
Yeah. One person commented, I don't think there could be anything more embarrassing than being on this show. So that was
I'll
great.
Take that one. It's...
And then there were a bunch of people that commented in code, CBAE, CBAE. I think he commented, this looks like base 4 to me, and I'm not decoding that. So he probably said that that Paul is awesome and that he wanted a Boys Without Foys episode. So here we go. That's what we're going to do for that.
Wish granted.
And Richard Hine thought it was pretty funny when we talked about the demographic of people that watch this show is basically dudes.
Yep.
So we're going to get our broskies on and we're going to get the show started. All right, so last week, Laura and I brought you guys some info on OmniTouch, which is the little Kinect sensor and little kit that you can wear where you can project things onto your hand or onto walls and interact with them. Yeah, totally sweet. Not as sweet as Pocket Touch, where they had some sensors that are put into your
pocket. And a pedometer. I see that.
And a pedometer, where like you can just kind of touch different fabrics and have a sensor underneath it. This week, we're going to talk about another cool thing. This one's called Holodesk.
Not touch.
Yeah, not, well, it's like virtual touch. So the way that Microsoft...
Virtual touch.
Yeah. It's like the way that Microsoft describes
it... pretend you're touching real
things. ...is that Holodesk is a novel interactive system combining an optical see-through display and Kinect camera to create the illusion that users are directly interacting with 3D graphics.
So it's one step closer to, like, Minority Report or Star Trek or something crazy where you can, like, grab things, shift them around, rotate them, look at them. Maybe take them apart eventually.
Possibly.
We're just brainstorming here.
Yeah, I think it's closer to Star Trek. Well, at least Star Trek had something called the Holodeck, which I think...
That was kind of a video conferencing thing, wasn't it? Or like a conferencing. Like you could talk to someone.
Yes, I think so. I don't know.
But could I punch the holodeck person and then they'd feel
I'm
on the
I'm
other
sure
side?
You could punch just about anything. Which is why we are a safe distance away. Yep. Yes, I'm not touching you. Great. So the Holodesk is actually pretty cool. There's this 4 minute or so video where it shows how people can interact with these objects. So they just have it looks like they have a physics engine where you can have things like blocks and balls.
I mean,
and
they
cups.
Had one with the piece of paper, the ball rolling around on it, pour the ball into the cup. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it was cool because it started with like you just see a cup and then you pick up the cup. And then, like the ball falls out.
This opens up whole new realms of possibilities for, like, the street side guys who just scam you for money, right? Where's the ball at? Move the cups around, where's the ball at? And then it just disappears.
Right, it's just completely
gone. There was no ball.
that's the trick, is there is no spoon. I was actually kind of, I don't know why I was impressed by them inserting paper and having it, like, roll around in the paper, more so that I was impressed with people just like picking up a ball and putting it into a cup. But they showed some pretty interesting use cases of this, where they were saying that there could be types of remote collaboration where like multiple people from multiple different stations could all put balls in a big bowl. Not that that's the
it
most
could also
productive
be like a,
use of your time.
Like, I think of it like games. Like, it could be much more real life, like Operation. Do you ever play Operation when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Don't get the wishbones hard, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But now you can do it on like real three-dimensional virtual cadavers.
Yeah, or you could play Connect 4. And then, well, it
seems way less exciting, but yes.
Yeah, because I mean, I guess the most fun part about Connect 4 was just like before someone could put that fourth one in, you just just knock the thing over and spill the Connect 4 everywhere. Anyway, I think Holodesk is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I would probably rate this as the coolest of the three that we talked about, with Pocket Touch probably being at the low end. But we'll see how these technologies pan out over time.
Yeah.
All right, many of you longtime viewers of Ping know that we continually give you updates about the Microsoft retail presence.
We've kind of chronicled the whole evolution. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The chronic what? Coles of Narnia. That's right. So
Chronicles of Microsoft stores.
Yeah, I guess that is probably what we're...
Yeah, there's no Narnia right now. There is somewhere else.
So the store, so we've said that we're going to be opening up to, 75 new stores across North America in
the next
year or two. And we just completed opening our 12th store, which is in kind of Microsoft's backyard.
Yeah, the University Village, right next to University of Washington.
Yep. And there was actually kind of a big presence, big deal, a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, opening. There was concerts a couple nights on Friday and Saturday night.
And you went, right?
I went and saw the Black Keys on Friday.
So, well, who are the Black Keys?
They are a band.
Okay.
From Akron, Ohio.
All right, so from the Midwest, they're good folk.
Yeah, good folk. We're both from the Midwest.
Yeah.
So what could possibly be bad?
Exactly.
Good music. They were carrying around, there was a bunch of local restaurants carrying around food, like a pizza place carrying around food. Good pizza.
Yeah, and well, you being from the Chicago area.
It was Chicago-style pizza.
So
it's kind of my favorite Chicago-style pizza place in Seattle.
So we had some bands from the Midwest. We had some food from the Midwest. We had
there was Jamba Juice. I don't know where Jamba Juice is from.
Well, Jamba Juice is just delicious, so so that's all that matters there. So yeah, there were a bunch of people that were camping out overnight.
Yeah, trying to get tickets.
Trying to get tickets. So how did that work? Like, did people camp out to like the to be the first in the store, and then they get tickets to the concert? Or
yeah, I'm not totally sure. Like, I think they. I don't know exactly how.
So you got your tickets through.
I got my tickets through a friend who works in the store business.
But, nice.
Yeah. So.
Very nice. So
I had to stand. They made us stand all the way. Like, my tickets were not. I couldn't go up near the stage. I had to be way in the back.
Sure. Well, being as tall as you are, I'm sure that was fine.
Yeah, we don't want to block the view. I'm like 900 feet tall.
Yeah. Anyway, the people that were in line got food, they got coffee, they even got laptop bags that were Microsoft branded. So we really tried taking care of the people that were excited to come in to the store. And they even got to see a free screening of Transformers 3.
Nice.
And all
Saturday was One Republic was playing. So I think there were tickets for that night too. I don't know if that was the same batch that you got tickets, but it was
very nice.
Definitely a big presence, big deal for the opening.
Yeah, so I'm really happy to see that that more Microsoft stores are opening, that they're opening in our backyard, especially in a very Microsoft concentrated town.
Yep.
I think it's important that we have a good local presence, and we learn so that we can roll these things out nationwide, maybe some into Canada and other countries as time goes on.
Yep.
All right, Adam.
All right, Paul.
Isn't this one of the greatest places to work in the world? Don't you wake up every day and think
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
Well, I've always thought...
And all my thoughts were confirmed.
Were they?
What? By a survey today.
A survey?
Was it a survey?
No, it
I
was...
think it's a news article.
A news article. There's this entity called the Great Place to Work Institute.
.com.
Maybe it's .com. Maybe. I don't know. But it's just amazing that, to me... that there's something that is called the Great Place to Work Institute. And what's even more amazing is that they
picked us.
They picked Microsoft as the number one
global
workplace.
To work.
Yes. Adam's making fun of me because off camera I had said like we were the greatest place to live, and he's like, that's probably not the greatest place.
If you're living at work.
Yeah.
There's zero work-life balance.
Yeah. Or actually it's probably perfectly one-to-one.
There's no balance.
But yeah, but it's
all work.
It's an even. Okay, so maybe ratios aren't my thing today, but
that's not much of a math whiz.
How long is this going to take?
But yeah, so they listed the top 25 companies are heavy
global companies.
Yeah, global companies, like multinationals.
Yep.
And Microsoft was number one.
Awesome.
So when I first saw this, I thought it was like the Fortune list that I've been seeing year over year.
Yep.
But it's apparently a different type of survey. They look at similar things, but I think the Fortune ones focus mainly on the U.S.
Okay.
And this one is global.
Okay.
So Microsoft's
Great Place to Work Institute.
The Great Place to Work Institute.
Is that what it's called?
That's
awesome. No, I'm just
when I first saw that, I was like, wow, that is a really specific
name.
Yeah, for an organization. So, but we are still on the Fortune 100 list. We've been on that for like forever, very long time.
Yeah. I don't know how long that list has been around.
I'm guessing we're probably one of the longest running people
sure.
have their companies.
That's a fair guess.
That has, yeah, just throw the truthiness
yeah,
of it
no, that
says
seems like it might hold up.
So I'm pretty happy. In the article, they also apparently had interviewed Lisa Brummel, and they were asking her questions like, oh, you know, with a large software company like you guys, you're 90 plus people. Like, do you feel like you can't innovate at that size? And she disagreed. She's like, you know, we have all sorts of great teams here, ranging from large teams to small teams that do incubations. And I was thinking, like, our experience in System Center Advisor going from this, you know, this tiny little team to a slightly less tiny small team. And just
doing great stuff.
Yeah. And I get to meet great people, like the people that sit next to Adam.
As a great place to work.
Yeah. So anyway, it's been a great experience so far here at Microsoft, and we are the greatest place to work in the world. So if you're interested, go to Microsoft.com/careers.
Jobs.
Yeah, jobs, careers.
Careers. They probably both work.
Probably careers.microsoft.com. You know, just go onto a search engine and type in Microsoft careers, I'm sure.
Bing.
It'll,
try Bing.
Yeah, it'll come right up. All right, like we just mentioned in our last story, Adam, Microsoft is a great place to work, and I think it's a great place to work because of the great people that we have here.
Yeah. And the great valuing, like, I mean, people, a lot of people here give back to the community, which
yeah.
I think is awesome.
Yeah, for example, there was an article recently that put out there from the White House that said that they're honoring Brad Smith, who is our executive vice president and general counsel. And for their program, it's called Champions of Change.
Okay.
And one of the things that Brad Smith has been affiliated with is he founded Kids in Need of Defense, or it's kind, exactly, K-I-N-D, in 2008 with Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so what types of kids are in need of defense? And
probably a lot.
Yep, there are a lot, but they're specifically focusing on trying to train lawyers and different law firms and companies to help children who have been separated from their parents.
Yep.
So it says each year, 8,000 children who have become separated from their families face an immigration proceeding alone. So in a world that's too often afflicted by war, violence, and abusive conditions for children, their personal circumstances are as diverse as the countries from which they come. So without having a lawyer present at some of these proceedings, the average age of these kids is like 14.
Yeah, so, it's not very easy to stand up and defend, do like a good legal defense like
exactly
for yourself. I don't think many people could do it at a lot of ages.
So yeah,
14 seems
easy. Aside from the guy from Catch Me If You Can.
Well, I mean, yeah, but he's unique.
Yeah, and somewhat fictitious.
Yeah, and it's Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right, so yeah. Frank Abagnale Jr. And he can do that thing with a little locket, and that just woos every girl. Anyway, this seems like a pretty cool charity. It's been going on for a few years. It's already helped over 3,100 children.
Awesome.
So congrats to Brad Smith and all the Microsofties like him that are making a big impact in the community.
Definitely.
All right, that does it for Boys Without Foys.
Episode 123.
Yeah.
120. Well, sure.
One.
8, 123. Give or take 115. Who's really counting?
Yeah, it's 1, 2, 3, 8. I'm sure there's some type of sequence there that we can...
We should use that base for counting.
Yeah, it could be like 1 times 2 to the third, and that's 8. Look at that. Brilliant. Anyway, it's been fun having Adam here on the show. Is there any last parting words you wanted to talk about?
I don't have a ton.
You don't want to talk about like the Nokia phones?
There is the Nokia, the pink Nokia phone.
Is that the one that you'd be going for?
Well, I like that it provides variety in color.
Right. So
not that I want the pink one.
Right.
But I like that
I think I hear some backpedaling here.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing that I thought that was cool about Nokia is like we're now finally starting to get some variety in commercials and web content that are actually pretty engaging to look at. There was actually one that came out that had a really cool kind of like techno-ish song behind it. I think it was something about dinosaurs. I don't know. I looked it up and I thought it was a really good song. So maybe we'll link to it. But anyway, I thought the commercials were pretty good, and I liked seeing the things coming out from Nokia, and I can't wait for them to come to the U.S. and start trying to.
The 8-megapixel camera is kind of the most exciting part to me. Like,
yeah,
it makes the camera useful.
Yeah, I like the camera that I have right now, though sometimes it gets a little blurry if I don't just hold the button just right. So hopefully there's some updates that'll be coming to that across devices in the next couple of years. So anyway, with that, let's throw our nine guys.
Here we go.